to Christ. Give me Philemon. How do you say it? Philemon. How do you say it? Philemon. Give me Philemon. Philemon. Don't look for any other chapter. It's only one chapter. Chapter one. Hallelujah. It's one book. So, can you give it to me? New Living Translation. New Living Translation. I'm going to be reading real quick from verse 1 to about verse 19, verse 20. Paul, a prisoner of... Okay, this letter is from Paul. A prisoner for preaching the good news about Christ Jesus. So this letter that I'm going to deliver to you this morning, charge it to Christ. This one is from Paul. But the one that I'm giving you this morning is from Jesus. Amen. Preaching the good news about Christ Jesus and from our brother Timothy, I'm writing to Philemon, our beloved co-worker, and to our sister Aphia, to our fellow soldier Archippus, and to the church that meets in your house. May God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Amen. I always thank my God when I pray for you, Philemon, because I keep hearing about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people. And I'm praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things we have in Christ. Put into action the generosity that comes from your faith. Your love has given me much joy and comfort, my brother, for your kindness has often refreshed the hearts of God's people. Can somebody write a letter to you, write a letter about you, and say that, you know, what you have done is comforting to me. It's refreshing to the people. That was a challenge for me. Your love has given much joy and comfort. Can somebody say that about you? That your love, the love you have shared with me, is giving me so much joy, is giving me so much comfort, so much kindness that my heart is refreshed. Verse 8. Say, that is why I am boldly asking a favor of you. Say, because I see your generosity and your kindness, now I'm asking you a favor. I could demand it in the name of Christ because it is the right thing for you to do. He said, but because of our love, I prefer simply to ask you, consider this as a request from me, Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner for the sake of Christ Jesus. Verse 10 says, I appeal to you to show kindness to my child, Onesimus. I became his father in the faith while here in prison. Onesimus hasn't been of much use to you in the past, but now he is very useful to both of us. So I'm sending him back to you, and with him comes my own heart. I wanted to keep him here with me while I'm in these chains for preaching the good news, and he would have helped me on your behalf. Say, but I didn't want to do anything without your consent. I wanted you to help because you were willing, not because you were forced. It seems Onesimus ran away for a little while so that you could have him back forever. He's no longer like a slave to you. He's more than a slave, for he's a beloved brother, especially to me. Now he will mean much more to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. Verse 17. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If we write a letter to someone, can we say welcome him as you would welcome me? For some of us, if we write that, that person is in trouble. Because what we have done, nobody can welcome anyone in our name. When you say welcome me as you welcome him, they will have prepared some terrible things, some terrible welcome for that person. But Paul was so sure of himself. He said, if he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, Charge it to me. Charge it to me. Charge it to me. Give me verse 19 and I will stop there. He said, I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it. And I want to mention that you owe me your very soul. He said, if he has owed you anything or wronged you in any way, charge it to me. I don't know if anybody has ever used the word, charge it into my account. How many of us? I know I've used it. Charge it into my account. Or charge me for it. Charge it to me. I know I've used it several times. Sometimes I'll tell the kids when they say they want to buy something, is there money in my card? They just say it as if it's expected. Mommy, put money on my card. And sometimes I say, I don't have money. Go spend your own money. Say, you give me back. I say, charge it. Put it in my account. I'll give it back to you later. And usually when we, you know, what does it mean to charge someone? Let me show you something this morning. So, Pastor G, please come. Dr. Lawani, please come. So, I'm in the middle. So, Brother Soji has offended me. He hasn't offended me in any way. This is just an illustration. So nobody says, Brother Sanji, what did you do to Pastor after service? It's a wonderful brother. So Brother Sanji did something. And I'm so furious. I'm so upset. I'm so annoyed. I feel like punching him right now. And then Dr. Lawani came. And he said, Pastor, what is going on? And I said, Brother G has offended me. Right now, I feel like punching him. And Pastor said, charge it to my account. And Brother Lawani said, say, charge it to my account.
Charge it to my account.
And immediately, what do? I turn around and I give the same punishment to Dr. Lawani. So basically, thank you, sir. God bless you. God bless you. God bless the two of you. So basically, when you say, charge it to my account, you are saying that whatever punishment the person deserves, whatever debt they owe, whatever reward they're going to get, everything, I'm going to take it and I'm going to put it on myself. But usually, as human beings, when we ask for things to be charged to us on behalf of somebody else, it is because we are repaying a good thing they have done. Right? Wrong? Everybody agree with me? So when I say, Dr. Lawani probably came to me because Brasoji is his friend. Maybe Brasoji has taken him to smoothie cafe, whatever, Chipotle, or a beautiful, nice. What's your favorite restaurant, sir? Maybe he has taken him to Julie's with his wife. I said, bring your wife and children, we're going to Julie's. And then when he saw me, he said, I remember this brother has taken me to Julie's before. Let me try to take on the heat for him. So we take on the heat for our family, for our brothers, for our sisters, for our children, we take on the heat. Some of us, when our children are sick, we say, Lord, please take it away from them. Just let it be me. You want to, especially when they are still babies and they have a cold, they can't breathe. You're like, oh my God. Just take it, put it on me instead. Charge it on me instead. And it is because those people, they are so personal to us, they are close to us, they are our friends, they are our lovers, they are our, you know, and we say, charge it to me. So Apostle Paul here wrote a letter to Philemon. He met Onesimus in the prison. So maybe Onesimus was a slave. Maybe he stole Philemon's money, we don't know. Maybe he raped his children, we don't know. We don't know what Onesimus did. But Paul met him in prison. Maybe as a result of his bad behavior, he landed in prison. So Paul was also in prison, and Paul preached Christ to him. And he met with Christ. And this is not in the scripture. My husband, he will tell me, let the people know, it is your interpretation. So this is my interpretation. Maybe because Paul led Onesimus to Christ, He accepted Paul as a father figure, as a father in Christ. Maybe he served Paul. Maybe he will get water for Paul to get his bath. Maybe he will give his meal to Paul. Maybe he will, he took care of Paul in the prison. And Paul said, he's about to be released. Maybe now Onesimus has finished his term. So he needs to go out into the, he finished his jail term. So he said, let me write him a letter so that wherever he's going, I can send him to Philemon and say, you know what, he used to be bad, but now he's good because I met with him and he's now good. He's good to me. So I'm going to give him a letter. And I can imagine Onesimus with that letter in his hand saying, yeah, Paul wrote me a letter. Now I can go back and face Philemon and say, yes, I raped your wife, I raped your daughter, but I got something here. Someone here is vouching for me that I'm a changed person. So he went excited. He was going excited. So I said, this is good. This is really, really good that we can say, charge it to me when somebody offends, when our loved ones offend somebody. And we can say, you know what? We do it sometimes. I remember when my mom was alive and my husband, when he's, like him and the children are having a wrestling match. Like if he's spanking them, my mom will stand in the middle and say, hey, beat me, beat me, beat me. And my husband would just hands off and say, oh, grandma. You know, and grandma, the grandmas here can bear witness. You do that. We want to take the beating for the children. Or we say, you know, whatever he has done, just take it that I'm the one that has done it. So I said, that's good. I read that and I was like, wow, this is good. So I can leverage that. And if somebody offends me, or my husband offends someone, I can say, charge it to me. And then I began to meditate more on it. And I realized that there was one question I needed to ask. What if the person has not changed? What if they have not changed? What if that person is not my loved one? What if they have still, you know, what if Onesimus was still sitting in the prison? What if he beat Paul? What if he did something terrible to Paul? What would Paul do? Would Paul have written the letter to say, charge it to me? I thought about it, and I was like, so if I can't charge it to myself, or that person is not worthy of me charging it to my, some people are not worthy of you charging it to their account. Agree? It's a lie. No. I was testing you. It was a trick question. But in our own reasoning, in our own fleshy mind thoughts, say, this person is not worthy of charging into my account. He's not worth it. It was just like if Dr. Lawani had seen Brasoji and said, oh, it's Brasoji. That's what they always do. Pastor, deal with him and walk away. I can't charge it to my account. So who do I charge it to? And that's where I came up with, charge it to Jesus. And there's a reason why I said charge it to Jesus. So, the person is not useful. Paul wrote the letter. I said Onesimus is useful. He said he might not have been useful in the past, but now he's useful. Now I'm talking about the person that was not useful in the past and is still not useful now. And you are looking at the future. You are saying, this person is even not going to be useful in the future. How do you charge it? Who do you charge it to? What do you do? If I can't say that person is my beloved brother in Christ, like Paul wrote and said, Onesimus is my beloved brother in Christ, what do you do? What do we do at that point? If they have not changed, if you have tried everything for them to change and they have not changed, who do you charge it to? What do you do? Do you still stand up for them? Do you still defend them? Charge it to Christ. Charge it to Christ. Charge it to Jesus. That was the response the Holy Spirit gave me. Said, because that's what Jesus did for you. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 to 8. Romans 5, verse 6 to 8. The Bible says, Christ arrives right on time to make this happen. He didn't and doesn't wait for us to get ready. He didn't wait for us to clean up our acts. He didn't wait for us to clean our mouth, to wash our hands, to wash our legs, to change our clothes. Verse 8 says, why we were yet sinners. Somebody quoted that scripture this morning, and I said, oh, this person must have been in the spirit. It says, why we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. That it wasn't like we are changed. He didn't demand no explanation from us. He didn't say, tell me your reason why you did it before I can forgive you. He didn't. He didn't say, clean up your act first. He said, why we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to be made right at all. When we were actively committing sin, we all know that sin that we commit. While you are doing it, he died. He wrote the letter to the Father. He said, charge it to my account. Paid in full. So what is stopping us from charging it to Christ? To look at that person that has hurt you so much, that has offended you, and they continue to do it. They are doing it right now. And tomorrow they will do it. Next month they will do the same thing. Next year they will do the same thing. The Bible says, charge it to Christ. Charge it to Christ. There are certain times I'll promise my children, you know what? When you get this grade, this is what I'm going to give you. They get the grade first, and then they get the gift. But Christ gave us the gift even before the grade. We had not received an A. We were at F, failing, the big F failing. And he gave us the gift. And all he was asking is, receive the gift. You know what we do, some of us? Even though we were getting F, he gave us the gift. He will be handing the gift to us, and we'll be refusing. You did not even merit the gift. You scored an F, but he's still giving you gifts. I can imagine, God forbid, if my kids fell and I say, take gifts, they will run. I said, thank you, mommy. They will, first they will look at me. Something wrong with this woman? She don't usually do it. How many of you have ever given your kids gifts when they score F? God forbid, we don't have any F students, F children. So maybe it's not applicable here. But I know. Because every one of us, I know we're scoring A's. So I can't ask how many of us receive gifts when we're scoring F. Because we were all A students. We were all A students. Amen. But he gave us gifts while we were yet sinners. So why can't we give the same gift to others? He forgave us, no question asked. He didn't say, go wash yourself, clean up your act. He said, come to me first. And after you receive the gift, you now begin the washing. You now begin the washing. You now begin the cleaning up your act. You now begin cleaning your mouth. You begin to brush your teeth. You know what I mean by brushing your teeth? You don't know. It is you say what is edified to others. You do not let any unwholesome talk depart from your mouth. If you are still doing that, you need to go brush your teeth. Brush your mouth. So that when you open your mouth, you will minister grace to people. Amen. He didn't say that. He didn't say, go clean up your act. He said, come to me first. And then the cleaning, we'll do the cleaning together. We'll work on it together. I will hold you by the hand. I will walk with you every step of the way. And we do the teeth brushing, we do the hair combing, we do the hair styling, we do the putting on the beautiful clothes, beautiful shoes. But you have to come to me first. No question asked. But we expect people to plead their case. But God didn't ask us to plead our case before dying for us. No amount of words can express our guilt. He did not even consider it before saying, charge it on me. Say, Father, charge it on me. Every time we do something, the blood speaks. I paid for it, Daddy. In full, I paid for it. The Bible says, for love's sake, he became poor. Say, we all know who Jesus is. That though he was rich, but because of us, he became poor. So that through his poverty, we might become rich. Jesus is the one who died for all. He's the one that died for you and me. He said, lay the charge on me. So if you have no reason to forgive the person, you have searched your heart. You have done all you can. You have prayed. You have fasted. You have done everything. You are still seeing that thing, that terrible thing, that terrible hurt they have inflicted on you, that terrible pain. Just charge it on Jesus. Say, Jesus, you pay for it. Say, Jesus, you the one. Not you pay for it, oh. Let Jesus pay for it. You know how we tell our kids, you pay for what you have done. Tell Jesus, you will pay for what this person has done. Guess what? He's not just about to pay for it. He already paid for it. So just receive the price that he's giving you. The price of forgiveness. The price of redemption that he's giving you for that person. So if anyone has offended you, our time is well spent. 1 Corinthians 9:18. Apostle Paul said, what is my pay? It is the opportunity to preach the good news without charging anyone. What does that mean? He said, I'm preaching the good news. I'm not charging anyone. What is the good news? I think it's in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, somewhere verse 17 or verse 7. That talks about the good news. What is the good news? The good news is forgiveness. The good news is that Christ died to save us. So he said, I'm doing that. I'm not charging anyone. I'm not asking you to explain yourself to me. I'm not even asking you to apologize. You don't have to tell me sorry, but I'll forgive you. I don't have to see changes in you, but I'll forgive you. That is the good news. That is the good news Paul was preaching with his life. And if we fail to preach that, then we're not Christ's ambassadors. We're not Christ's ambassadors. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 1. He said, come and buy. Come and drink. He said, even if you don't have money. What does that mean? Even if you are not worthy, I will give it to you free of charge. Even if you are not worthy of that forgiveness, I will give it to you. Are you worthy of the forgiveness Jesus gave you? He said, even if you are not worthy, I'll give it to you without price. I'm not charging you. I'm not charging you. Say, I will give forgiveness. Say, I will give forgiveness without price. It means that they might not be sorry. They might not clean up their acts. They might not do right by you. They might continue to do the same thing. Say, but I will give it without charging a price. Without charging a price. Revelation 22:17. He says that drink freely the water of life. What is the water of life? It's good news. What is the water of life? It's Jesus. Because we saw it when he told that woman by the well that if you drink this water of life, you will thirst no more. That's the water of life. Jesus gave it to us freely. Let's give it freely by forgiving everyone that has ever hurt or offended us. Stand on your feet with me. He did not only forgive, he also reconciled us to God. He did that work of reconciliation. And talking about reconciliation, I can talk about it for another hour when it comes to forgiveness. You know how people say, I forgive, but they're going to be on their own. I forgive, but I'm not talking to you anymore. If Jesus had done that for you, where would you be? He reconciled them. He brought us back to our rightful place in the Father. That's reconciliation. That's reconciliation. He brought us back to where we... Some people say, let them be on their own, no, so they don't hurt me anymore. But Jesus reconciled us, knowing that we will hurt him again. Knowing that we will continue to sin. Because we're still in this flesh. Knowing that every once in a while we will fall into sin. But he reconciled us to our rightful place with the Father anyway. So why do we say, I forgive, but they're going to be on their own? Forgiveness without reconciliation. God will have mercy on us. Amen. I can go on and on and on, but our time was well spent. 2 Corinthians 5:18. The Bible says, and all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. Through Christ, God brought us back to himself. He reconciled us to himself through Christ. And God, 2 Corinthians 5:18 is what I'm reading. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. You know what that means? Every time you forgive someone and reconcile them back to their rightful place, you are reconciling them back to God. You are reconciling them back to God. That's what you're doing. Because he gave us a task of the ministry of reconciliation. Ministry of reconciliation. Hebrews 9:12 says, with his own blood, not the blood of goats or calves, he entered the most holy place once and for all time and secured our redemption forever. So that's where we're seated, we will be there. Nothing is going to move us. Nothing is going to shake us from there. So it means when you forgive, they should be where they were. That nothing changes it. Say, yes, I forgive, but it can never be the same. Lie. Not now, not ever. It can't be the same. They can't be close to me that much anymore. But Christ allowed us to be close to him that much. Jesus. Whew. So, my charge to you this morning is that we all remember, to every one of us, that we were once Onesimus. You were once an Onesimus. I was once an Onesimus. Some of us are even still Onesimus. But Christ wrote a letter to the Father and said, charge it to my account. Charge it to me. All eyes closed. All eyes closed. If you are here and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, Jesus is not the Lord of your life. You cannot say that I have received that gift, even as I'm scoring F. He's giving that gift, but I haven't received it. Please, this morning, I want to beg you, don't go home without receiving the love of Christ into your heart. Do not go home without receiving the love of Christ into your heart. So if you're here, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just put your right hand on your left chest and just say, Jesus, I receive you into my heart today. I receive your love, the fullness of your love, the fullness of your gift into my life this morning. And if you're here, you know Jesus, you have a relationship with Jesus. This morning, if anyone has offended you, please release them. Say, yes, I know that I was once an Onesimus. All my Onesimuses, I release them this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, I forgive them and I release them. They don't have to give me an explanation. They don't even have to say sorry. They don't have to apologize. They don't need to give me explanations. But this morning, I release them. It does not matter who the person might be to you. This morning, just release them, knowing that you are once an Onesimus. Charge it to Jesus. I'm not asking you to release them free of charge. Jesus is paying for it. So if you need someone to pay for it, you say, somebody must pay for this thing. Please charge it to Jesus this morning. Let Jesus pay for it. Just say you are releasing them to Jesus. I'm putting it upon Jesus. I'm taking it away from them. The punishment that I meant to met on them, all the things that I meant to do, that you've already made up your mind, I will show them. Just go and show Jesus instead. Release it to Jesus this morning. Father, eternal King of glory, will bless your name. I know we are not hyped, but I believe in my heart that you are breaking something in our heart. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, that everyone that represents Onesimus in our life, and we are the Philemons. Father, today, we choose to charge those things on you. We charge it on Christ. Amen. And we release them. Amen. Free of charge. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus.